The Gospel of Mark chapter 10 this morning. Mark chapter 10. And we will begin reading in verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" The man that we spotlight this morning is one of the most outstanding individuals that ever sought an audience with Christ. He was obviously interested in Christ, or he would not have been there. His question pinpointed that he was concerned about his eternity. His numbering of achievements assures us that he was a man of integrity and accomplishment. The story also informs us that he was very attached to his money. So I have some thoughts this morning. First of all, the assets that he brought, it's fascinating. This story is given in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark 10 tells us that he was rich. Matthew 19 tells us that he was rich and young. Luke 18 tells us that he was a ruler. He had a lot going for him. First of all, he was young. Those of us who can remember, youth was a great time to be alive. The greatest thing about being a youth is this: their hearts are tender, and most people who get saved are young when they get saved. Most folks get saved before they are 25. Solomon said this: "Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth." And of course, that's very, very good advice. Second of all, he was a ruler. Even as a young man, he was a member of the very elite Sanhedrin. There were only 71 people in that Supreme Court in Israel, and he was one of them. He would be an authority on Jewish custom and law. Third, he was rich. Wealth is like youth. Everybody wants it. We have some sort of a fool idea that if we were only rich, that all of our problems would be solved. If you are any kind of a student of history, you understand that is not true. Even though Bill Gates's wife just got $130 billion in their breakup, but she had to put up with a lot. No amount of money can satisfy the deepest longings of your heart, because there is much that money cannot buy. In fact, the Lord said it this way: a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. That's not what your life is all about. True riches are love and honor and respect. And because of that, the Lord says, labor not to be rich, because the love of money is still the root of all evil, ladies and gentlemen. Fourth, he had morals. It took courage for this young man to come, because society as a whole had already rejected Jesus Christ, and especially the elite. They said, he is an imposter. They had already begun tightening the noose that would lead to his death. Many hated him, and especially the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. But this young man left the crowd, came to Jesus, fell on his knees, and began to recite all that he had done right. I have kept the commandments. In other words, I have lived a clean life. He was a good neighbor and probably a very fine citizen in Israel. And he wanted to go to heaven. I want to spend eternity with God. And Jesus said two things that are fascinating. First of all, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is probing his heart. Are you coming for the right reason? And then second of all, you've got to keep the commandments. Again, he is probing. Are you willing to admit that you are a sinner? That's what the commandments is all about. That's what the law is all about, to show you and to show me we cannot keep the commandments. We need God's grace if we are going to go to heaven. Are you coming for the right reasons? Are you willing to admit that you are a sinner? This young man had a great form of religion. He believed in God. He had an allegiance to the Old Testament scriptures. He recited all of this. He could have said, like the two guys that were in the temple, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. I fast, I tithe, I pray. Most people who look at me think that I'm a great believer in God. The problem was, he knew within himself something is wrong. Shakespeare put it this way: this above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. He knew that he had money, but it had not bought him the best things in life. He knew he had gone through the rituals of organized religion, but it had not satisfied his heart. For everything about his life that was right, something is wrong. So, second of all, the acknowledgement he made. This young man knew something was wrong. What lack I yet? Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And look at verse 20. Matthew 19 and verse 20, same story. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? What have I missed, Lord? Let me ask you something this morning. Are you content where you are? What's going on in your life, where you're headed, what kind of a person you're becoming? Are you really right with God? Do you really have peace? Are you really confident about eternity? Are you where you want to be in your life? Or what lack I? Third, here's the litmus test that he failed. Jesus didn't see this young man like we see him. From the outside, this young man has it all. Jesus looked right inside to his heart. He knew exactly what his motives were, what his morality was. Jesus saw his soul. He knew his sin. He knew his covetousness. He knew how much he loved his money. He knew his money meant more to him than anything. He knew the hypocrisy of the statement that he had kept the commandments. Christ was fixing to establish publicly that he was not willing to love his neighbor as himself. He looked into his soul and he skipped all the neon and the whitewash and the resumes and goes to where he really was. That's where he went to this young man. You lack something. Here's what you've got to do. Sell everything that you have and give it to poor people. Your money is not that important. I must be number one in your life, not your money. Until God becomes the most important issue in our life, we won't be saved. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're going to begin reading in verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, and these next two words give the value of his heart. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Me first. Jesus saith unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The Lord is saying to this young man, I have to be number one in your life. everyone has a well-defined system of values, and something is at the top of that list. It must be God's Son to be saved. That's what he is saying to this young man. Let me be number one in your life. You can spend your entire life climbing the ladder of success and make it to the top of that ladder only to find out you have it leaning against the wrong wall. Okay? Second of all, he said this, take up your cross and follow me. The sum total of being a Christian is to follow Jesus Christ. That is not the sum total of becoming a Christian. The sum total of becoming a Christian is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. After you've accepted Him, follow Him. It's a personal relationship with Him. Take up your cross daily and follow Him. If I am going to be a Christian, Jesus Christ and His cross must be preeminent in my life. The rich young ruler left. His money talked louder. Jesus didn't shove him away. He walked away with his guilt, with his emptiness, with his loneliness, and with his money. No man ever came with more and left with less. Did you ever wonder what happened to him? Well, I don't know for sure, but I keep reading through the Gospels and I come across a man who is middle-aged, not young, middle-aged, very wealthy, goal-oriented, thinking about semi-retirement, and he says, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Could it be the same guy? He walked away from Jesus and kept his money and made more money. Whatever is at the top of your values may bring you a great deal of pleasure and power and prestige. There's only one fly in the ointment, folks. That night, God said to him, thou fool. This night thy soul is required of thee, and then who shall these things be that thou hast provided? Death shines a lot of light on theology, doesn't it? And then we come across Luke 16, another rich man. He died, and he faces eternity without God. There's no pleasure. There's no power. There's no prestige there. There's only suffering. The young man came at the right time. He was young, to the right person, Jesus Christ, with the right request, eternal life. But he made a wrong turn. This morning, you're in the right place this morning. The question is, will you make the right decision? Father, thank you for your wonderful, holy word. Thank you that you have left us your word that makes so much sense about life and death and eternity and about your grace, how you want to save our souls. Father, thank you for this story in the New Testament. And dear Father, help each one of us to take it to heart this morning. When we talk about money, it could be anything that keeps us away from your Son. He has to be number one in our life. Oh, Father, help us to humble ourselves before you this morning and say, oh, dear God, please save my soul. I realize that I'm lost and undone, and I've broken your commandments, and I need you, and I need your grace. So, Father, please speak to our hearts this morning. Maybe we have been saved, but we have people in our family that's not saved. I think of Lloyda this morning, there with a good friend that is so troubled because she's not saved. And I pray for Livin this morning and ask that you might give Lloyda exactly the words to say that will make a difference and that Livin might be saved. Oh, Father, thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.